Okay. For those that are remaining, the bucket's up here too, Dave, if you want to snatch into it. So, we're going to read out of Scripture this morning, out of Isaiah 9, and we're going to read 1 through 7. And this passage is really important in this season of peace, and certainly this season of Advent, because this, even though it talks, and we've already talked about hope, but even though it talks about hope, it shares with us the true peace found in Christ. And I'm going to talk about Isaiah here shortly, about why it's one of my favorite books. But again, I want to read to you in Scripture this morning. We're going to begin with verse 1 and, end with verse 7. I'm in the New Living Translation, so if you're following along, please join. All right, here we go. Let's see what the Lord has to say. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever, Scripture declares. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoiced at the harvest, and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by the war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us. A son will be given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heavens, of the heaven's armies, will make all of this happen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, I do welcome you to worship, and I am thankful for each and every one of you this morning who are present, and also the families that you represent. This morning we have read from the book of Isaiah, certainly one of my favorites, as it is about God sharing His judgment on us. If you read the entire book of Isaiah, if you study it so remotely that you just hit the high notes, you will see that God judges us for our sins in the book of Isaiah. But what is unique about this book is that Isaiah, as a prophet, tells us that we will, through the promise of God, have salvation. And as you read on into Isaiah, as you go through that, you will see as you study the book, it is every time you turn a page or turn a corner in the story of Isaiah, even though God is laying judgment for our sins, you will see that there is salvation on every page. There's salvation almost in every verse. There's salvation on every corner in this book of Isaiah. Here we see God returning each and every time to share with us, yes, you are sinful, but there is salvation coming. I share this particular passage this morning with you because we are celebrating peace. We're celebrating peace today. We've heard it read in our Advent program because peace is important, because Christ represents peace. This particular passage shares with us that God brings justice and peace to the world and to the troubled people. Now, what's important about that statement is God just doesn't bring justice to the world. He brings justice to each and every person and His peace with it. So He is focusing not just on the entire world, which is a huge picture, but He is actually focusing in this passage on each one of us. That's how important we are to Him. And so thus, He brings His peace to our spirit. And I'll read you another piece of Scripture here shortly that will directly point to that. Friends, more often than not, injustice seems to prevail in our world, and we may suffer from abuses that are not even our fault. You see, we live in a crazy place. We all question it all the time. We see things on the news. We see all kinds of things happen. And we shake our head and we're thinking, how in the world did that happen? Or how am I impacted by this or that? The world has a lot of injustice. We'll say it that way. And we serve the Lord in justice and peace in a world that has no justice to a degree. Difficult things. In these events, however, in our life as Christians, we can be assured justice will be served because it's promised in Scripture. Now, it may not happen in our lifetime. Patience is something that all of us probably fall short in. So this justice may not come in our lifetime here. But what it will certainly come, it comes as a promise, and it may come in a lifetime hereafter. Here is simply the message of today. In this season of Advent, in this season of peace, we can, you and I, can share in God's peace if we simply trust in Him and give Him all of our worries, all of our cares, all of our hopes, and all of our ambitions. That means we got to give Him the good and the bad. We give it all to Him. As Christians serving in a world of uncertainty, we need to ask God every day. In fact, some days we need to ask Him twice. And there are many days in our life we need to go to Him just about every hour. But nevertheless, sometimes we need to seek God's guidance. And for us to truly have true peace, inner peace, as we face the world that we live in and serve Christ in that world, we need to have a direct relationship with Him. We need to be in covenancy with Him. We need to speak and talk with Him. Friends, as our Advent journey unfolds in the next few weeks, our hearts are drawn truly to today because we truly want inner peace. We truly want peace among ourselves, peace among our world. If we simply trust in God and give Him all those things I previously mentioned, that peace will come. Our hearts will be drawn to it. The world will be drawn to it. You see, we are promised in today's Scripture of a coming Messiah, a Prince of Peace, as foretold by Isaiah. We are so used to the hustle and bustle of life and the ever-changing curves it makes in our world, in our inner world, that we get disconnected. We get disconnected sometimes from our love and grace and mercy and certainly our peace. So I want you to imagine what peace looks like. I want you to think about this for a second because I'm going to come back and give you another example of the very same scene. I want you to think about a huge, beautiful snow-capped mountain, maybe in a fall, summer day, late summer, early fall day, a little bit of snow on top of the mountain in the higher elevations. Things are starting to come out of summer into fall maybe, and winter is beset, so the season of darkness, as we call it sometimes, is coming upon us. But yet, there's the lake, a huge, pristine, clear water lake that lays at the foot of those mountains. The lake is so calm that it looks like a mirror laying horizontal in the complete, detailed reflection of those mountains are inside of that lake. And there you sit on the lake shore in that scene. I want you to think about that for a second. Because that's what an example of nature is in true peace. Calm, quiet, all the seasons of life perhaps showing on the hillsides and valleys and ridges of that mountain, all reflected in the peace and calm and serenity of that lake. That's the peace we look for. That's the peace we hope for. True peace, friends, transcends the absence of conflict. True peace. It's a peace that surpasses even human understanding. You know, as I tried to give you that example, I racked my brain to try to bring something that would show you a scene in your mind of the seasons of life, the things that you can see, the things that are foretold, and what peace looks like in that. And that's the best example this old country boy can come up with. Is there it is, right in front of you, and the peace you look for, and you hope for, and you pray for, and you live in, is the water. So the true peace of Christ, it transcends everything. But it is beyond our human understanding, and even Scripture tells us that. So it's hard for us to grab a hold of that or reflect on that. I share with you a quote that's from R.T. Kendall, and he said it this way. True peace is not merely a distant goal, but the very present, living presence of Christ Jesus in your life. Well, that's a great quote. And I understand it. And I know you do as well. But although Kendall says it well, let me share with you what your Savior tells you peace is. Through John 14:27, Jesus says, I am leaving you. He didn't say the world. He said, I'm leaving you, each one of you, a gift. Peace of mind and heart, Jesus says. And the peace that I give each and every one of you is a gift the world cannot give you. The world can't give it to us, but Jesus can. And what's important about this quote is that Jesus says that I give you peace of mind and heart. I give it to you in both places. Not only so you can see it, but you can feel it. It's inward. You can both see it and feel it. That is huge. That's one of the most powerful statements about peace given to us, shared with us by our very own Savior, Jesus Himself, who tells us you have peace of mind and peace of spirit. Powerful. Even in the chaos of life, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ Himself, offers us a unique gift. As a follower of Jesus Christ, as His earthly disciple, as the children, I told them, they are ambassadors. Well, so are you. And as His ambassadors, He leaves us a unique gift, a peace that the world cannot replicate. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what a perfect place we may find ourselves in. The world cannot replicate this peace. It is only given to you, you personally, by your Lord and your Savior. Now, the message today is entitled Anchors of Peace. We're anchored as Christians in peace. And so I want you to consider this scene. All of you have seen a picture of it, but you can imagine if I share it with you verbally, you'll be able to picture it in your mind, I believe. I want you to see this beautiful lighthouse in the middle of an offshore ocean, standing erect. There it is. All in this huge, big granite foundation, and there it stands, 100, 150 feet tall, in its own glory, light beacon in the middle of a hurricane. Waves crashing up onto its sides, some 50, 60, 70 feet, and there it stands, pounding, wave after wave after wave. There it stands as a peaceful anchor, bringing peace to those who are in the midst of that storm, to include the waves. There it stands as an anchor, firm, consistent, just like Jesus is in our faith. The second Advent candle that we read about, lit this morning, symbolizes the peace that Christ offers us, which not only is given to us in our minds and in our hearts, but it also guards us of those two areas. When life befalls us, when wave after wave crashes onto our shores, we are guarded by the peace that God brings us in both our mind and in our spirit. In Romans 12:2, it says, we are taught the following. Now, I want you to listen to these words. It says specifically for you and I, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now that should be in a textbook somewhere in the world of in the academics of life. Let God transform you so that it changes the way you and I think. And there it is in the textbook of life, in Holy Word. Powerful message. That's a powerful message. We should resonate on that. We should reflect on that. What do we learn from God's wisdom in that statement? This is peace, friends, that is offered in a whole nother section of Scripture by Jesus. But here's the important part, and I'm going to take you all the way back to the lake scene. Okay? Here's the important part. Jesus doesn't offer us passive peace. It's active peace. Yes, it's ours, but we're not just to grab a hold of that and hold on to it and say, I got it. I'm not going to share it. I got it. I'm going to hold on to it. It's going to sustain me like a lighthouse. That's not our process. That's not our duty as His ambassador, as His follower. It is not a passive state of peace. It's active. It resides in you today because you have a duty to share it to the world through this ministry, into this community, and well beyond. It's not momentary. It's forever. This is momentary. We're here in worship this morning, like-minded. Everybody's happy, or I hope you are. Everybody's enjoying themselves. It's worship. We're all like-minded. It's easy to be peaceful here. Where we struggle is when we enter the ocean of life. And we get crashed time and time by those waves. And we get up and we get them again. That's where we need to grab a hold to that peace. That peace that transforms us. There's another scene that I want to give you. Same scene, mountain, all seasons of life. And I want you to see the lake as the world now. Not as just peace, but the world. And I want you to throw your active peace into that lake. A pebble at a time. What happens to a body of water that is impacted by a stone or a pebble? A ripple happens. And if those ripples are positive, not waves like life, but ripples that are positive, look what happens to that body of water. Eventually that ripple will travel the entire section of that lake, ever so slightly. And yet that peace that we share with the world needs to be like a stone in the lake. Thus, you must cast it. In order for the world to understand what God wants us to know about our inner peace, mind and spirit, we must share it. It is not momentary and it is not passive. It can't just happen here in this ministry. It has to happen outside the walls of this church. In Matthew, we are taught in 5:9, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. There's a special word in that passage. It's called work. Meaning, it didn't say you hold on to it. It says you work at it. That's our job. And that's what we need to celebrate this Advent season. In all of this beauty before us, this scene is the coming of the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. It happens so that you and I can work in the ministry of God and share the peace that He brought on that foretold night. That's our job. This Christmas season, may our lives symbolize not just the individual peace that we share, but may we experience the collective peace that you and I have together. We are the world's ambassadors to Christ's peace. It is Christ who brought it to us, and thus we must actively share it. Only the Prince of Peace knows the suffering it took to give us this opportunity, to give us this gift. We can examine it, but we can't feel it. He did. But it is our duty to share it. Friends, as we continue our journey through Advent this season, let our lives be a testimony. Let this Christmas change our life forever. Let it be a testimony to the transformative and unshakable peace found in Christ Jesus. The peace you experience in this sanctuary of hope and grace and love this morning is the peace you should share with the world tomorrow morning, or even perhaps this afternoon. In Christ and in Christ alone, we discover not just a momentary pause, a place of peace, much like today, this morning, here in this place, in this chapel, but we also must share the profound peace that comes to us through Christ, through our mind and our spirit. We must share that with the world. Because if we do, it's going to be like the stone in the lake. It will echo time in and time again through not only our lives, but our lives eternally. That's true inner peace. That's the peace we share regardless of the world's adversity. The peace of Jesus Christ, brought to you one Christmas Eve night, never to be forgotten, and always to be shared with the world. Amen.